The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we began to see yesterday, the name Christian is not just any old name. In fact, it ought to mean something. Elder John Morgan Owens continues today teaching us from Scripture what it means to be a follower of Christ or a Christian. Join us today for the conclusion of this message.
How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in every believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. And rise on
I don't know. We don't really have, you know, people don't really have enemies, I guess, like they, like I guess like people used to and sometimes. But you've got people in your life. You've got people who don't like you. People who you don't like either. Okay. You've got people who've maybe slandered you or something, and there is a rift there, and you just can't stand them, right? That's the person that got, that Jesus is telling you to love, and that hurts, you know? That hurts. That may be that person that you don't care what happens to that person, right? Jesus says to love, and look, here's the ultimate example. Because you realize that God's love for us, that we're not just sweet little children that He loves, okay? You realize that when He looked down and He chose you and He placed His love on you and He made that covenant to go and to die for you to redeem you, you weren't lovely little children. You were His enemies. Realize that when we sinned against Him, we became His enemy, and we continued in our sin. And every sin that you've ever committed in your life, you are the enemy of God, except for the fact that He loves you and He died for you. And that's our example. If we want to be like Christ, buckle up, because you're going to have to love people that you don't want to love. You're going to have to sacrifice yourself. What does it take? What does it take to love that person? Look, it doesn't say that person is going to love you back, okay? That person probably will never love you again, okay? It doesn't matter. But you love them, and you pray for them. And in doing that, I promise you, you are going to experience a little better the love that God has for you, okay? Because you are going to have to experience sacrificing yourself to love that person. And that's exactly what He did for you. Okay, let's continue. And then in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. A Christian is supposed to be hospitable. Now, look, we've all got varying degrees of social skills, okay? You know, not everybody wants to be around people all the time. Not everybody wants to just open their home and say, everybody come in. And you know, you can't tell who actually lives there kind of situation. That's not what this means, okay? Obviously, that is an example of hospitality. But to be hospitable is to be welcoming, okay? It's to be warm. Now, as I said, we all have varying degrees of personality flaws. I get it. You know, we don't all have to be you know, the people that you know, shout out your name when you come in the building, and you know, like, welcome to Zion Church, welcome to Moe's, welcome, you know, it's like hey everybody. You don't have to be that way, okay? But you've got to be in a sense to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You've got to be welcoming, okay? You've got to be willing to sacrifice maybe that social discomfort for fellowship. All right, let's keep going. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. This is talking about some spiritual gifts and how to use them. Let's skip on down here. Verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Here we go, that theme of a Christian as a fellow suffering, as somebody sharing in the sufferings of Christ. That when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. I remember that example in Scripture where his followers they got in trouble. They got in trouble for preaching Christ. And they came out and they were excited because they had been found worthy to get in trouble for the name of Christ. You know, I mean, that is an attitude of somebody who is sold out for the sufferings of Christ. And I've got to confess, that's not me most of the time, okay? There have been those mountaintop experiences in my life where I have felt that, you know. We've had a annual meeting here and some good preacher is up here preaching, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, let's go, right? I'm ready to go today. I'm ready, you know, as I think it was Brother Joe said, to storm hell with a water pistol. I'm ready to go, you know. And then there most of the time when I have fed my flesh, I'm not so excited to suffer for Christ. And I say that to my shame. In verse 14, it says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ," we just read that, "happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other man's matters." And this is the verse we started with this morning. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." You know, obviously he says, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer. He says, you know, don't go get in trouble just to suffer. You know, don't go be a murderer. He says, but if you suffer for being a Christian, let him not be ashamed. You don't even have to feel ashamed about that. But let him glorify God on this behalf. All right, let's go to the book of Titus, chapter 3, and we'll catch a few more characteristics. You know, Titus chapter 2 is a good chapter for characteristics of young men, older men, young women, older women. It's a wonderful passage there. And Titus 3 gives us a little insight on characteristics of a Christian. Verse 1 of Titus chapter 3, it says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." As Christians, we are supposed to be good citizens. We're supposed to, you know, obey the law so long as it is obeying Scripture, okay? As long as the dictates of our laws do not contradict Scripture, we ought to be good citizens, okay? And it says, and to be ready to every good work. So you need to be ready to contribute and to do good. And then it says, to speak evil of no man. That's a tough one. That gets me, okay? You know, I have times where I try really hard to not say anything, to let anything come out of my mouth that is negative. And you know, it feels good. It really does. It really feels good when I do a decent job of that. The problem is that I forget to do that, and then I forget to not sin, right? And then, lo and behold, I've said something negative about somebody. I've said something bad. He says, you really want to live up to being like Christ. It says, speak evil of no man. Now that doesn't mean, okay, that doesn't mean that you can't say the truth about somebody in the right context. It just says, speak evil of no man. All right, so you don't need to be slandering somebody. You don't need to be saying something that you don't know is true. And even if you know it's true, there are certain contexts for that to be said, right? Okay. It says to be no brawlers. I think we get what that means. You know, you shouldn't be out getting in fights all the time. Okay. It says, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Really want to sum it up. Jesus is telling us to be kind to people. One of the things that has always bugged me, When somebody will bully somebody, when somebody will, you know, especially, you know, you obviously you saw it in school. Every one of us saw it. You know, maybe you got bullied. Maybe you were the bully. You know, there's grace for everybody. Maybe you just witnessed it. But that's one thing I think that we have issue with today in particular, where kids and their phones, and they used to be able to escape and have the sanctuary of your home, the safety of your home, and hopefully a loving family to protect you and to get your head back on right from the bullies. But now, kids, when they get home, they look on their phone and they're constantly exposed to it. And so, you know, you see of kids that will, you know, eventually commit suicide, do something like that. And so he says for us to be kind. You need to be, and the way that you talk to people, you should be kind to them. And we're trying to teach Brother Cal to be kind to Maggie, right? to be kind to others, to be kind to us, right? If he says something, says something mean, you know, he said that's ugly, you know? And sometimes he says, you know, I'm ugly. I want to be ugly, you know? And we have to sort of, you know, drive that away from him, you know? But look, be kind. I never forget, one of the times, you know, Meredith and I had been dating for 2 or 3 years, okay? And I'm, you know, I'm in my 20s, and my mama comes to me, and she says, "Now, John Morgan, you be kind to her. You be sweet to her." And I was thinking, of course I am, Mom, you know? But what she was thinking was, I want this girl to be my daughter-in-law, so don't mess it up, you know? Right? You know, but look, we all need that reminder, you know, to be sweet to people, to be kind, and to be gentle. He says here, don't be brawlers, but gentle. That doesn't mean, again, that doesn't mean that you have to get run over. There's a difference between, you know, standing for what's right, standing for your family, and being gentle. You can be both at the same time. I mean, look at Christ. You know, it was said of him that a bruised reed he'll not break, and a smoking flax, just a little bit of a flame, he won't quench it. He's so gentle, he'll be able to handle it just right. But yet, you know, he drove out some people out of the temple, right? And they were running away from him before he whipped them, right? There, you can be gentle and stand for what's right at the same time. And then continuing, it says, showing all meekness unto all men. To be meek. That's what a Christian is, to be meek. And as we've talked about, Christ is our example of meekness and the fact that He is all power. He is God in the flesh. And yet, what does He do with that power? How does He use that power? You know, you as a Christian, you have great power. How do you use it? You know, you don't have to... You know, you don't have to threaten people. You don't have to abuse whatever good nature you might have. You can endure the suffering, knowing all along that you're a child of the King, right? And that's what being meek is. You know, you don't have to go in there. I mean, on social media, it's called Karen. Okay, being a Karen. Okay, some of you may have heard of this. You know, but it'll be some video of some, you know, HOA lady or something showing up or a person, a guy, you know, and they'll be, you know, talking about how important they are and you need to do this and do this right and all this and you know, you don't have to be that person. You're a child of the King. The God of the universe has adopted you as His son, as His daughter. Okay, you don't have to be entitled. You can endure suffering and hardship and treatment from people without having to pull that card, okay? And then continuing, he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. It's good to remember, as you're trying to be a Christian, as you're trying to be like Christ, it's good to remember who we were, okay? And to who we are by our nature, the tendencies we want to pull back into. And it took God's mercy to save us from that. And so, the other characteristic of a Christian is to be merciful. You know, you ought to be able to remember that if God has had mercy on me, then I can have mercy on brother so-and-so, right? I can have mercy on you. I can have mercy on this person who just cut me off in traffic. I can. You know, we did a lot more to God than cut Him off in traffic, and yet He was merciful to us. How many times have you failed God? I don't even want to think about it, okay? You may think that you've failed God a lot. I have failed God so much. And yet, I have sweet remembrances of His mercy, that He still loves His people. And so we ought to be merciful to others. Okay, so those are a few characteristics. Obviously, there's a lot more. And you say, okay, well, Brother John Morgan, how in the world are we supposed to do all of those things? How are we supposed to be better at all those things and to be a Christ-like figure, a Christian, when all of those targets are what we're shooting for? Well, let's simplify it, okay? You don't necessarily have to work on all these things and try to figure out how you're supposed to manage all these different things. Here's what you need to focus on, is being with Christ, okay? The more time you spend with Him, the more you're going to shine, okay? Think about Moses. As he goes up there on the mountain and he is being instructed by God on the law and he's writing it down, he spent time with God and he comes down and he is shining. He is glowing. You know, you already have, as a born-again child of God, you already have the fruits. You already have those things in you, okay? You're not necessarily going to have to focus on, you know, there may be areas that you need to focus on, okay? I'll say that caveat. But in general, you're not going to have to focus on growing these specific fruits, okay? What you're going to have to focus in on is tapping into that nourishment. And the fruit of the Spirit will take care of the rest, okay? You need to tap into Christ. The more time you spend with Him, the more you'll shine. It's like every other relationship, and you see that in Scripture. That's one of the things that is different about the Christian faith, is the emphasis on that personal relationship, the difference of the personal relationship with God. And so, just like any relationship, how would you strengthen any relationship in this world with a person, somebody in this room? You say, I want to strengthen that relationship. How would you do it? You know, maybe your parents are still living and you say, I want to strengthen that relationship. How do you do it? Well, there's some things that probably immediately come to your mind. And the easiest, the biggest example is spend time with them, right? I'm ashamed of how little amount of time I get to spend with my children. It makes me cry. Sometimes I get home and I feel like I've got to spend some, it's got to be some level of quality of time. Like we've got to have laughing, you know, fun times. You know, you don't have to have a certain quality of time that you spend with somebody in order to strengthen that relationship. You just need time. You just need quantity. You want to be closer to your husband, your wife, you spend time with them. And that's something that relationships, they're not just something that you check the box. You get your firefighter tag and you quit. You don't show up anymore for the meetings. You don't show up for any of the calls. You got your tag and you're a firefighter. It's not like that. to be a follower of Christ, it's going to take working it. It's going to take tending that. And so, you spend time. My relationship with my wife is a relationship that God has told me, has instructed me in Scripture, that I'm to cherish that relationship, I'm to take care of that relationship, I'm to love her. So there are times when our relationship feels more distant than others. You know, the onus is on me. The responsibility is on me to when we feel that way, to begin to bring that back. And how do you do that? Well, time together. maybe I've spent time doing other things, maybe hobbies, things like that, that divert my attention away. And I've got to sacrifice some of those things and spend time with my wife again. It's the exact same way it is with our relationship with God. And I'm telling you, I'm confessing, I'm the worst in this room right now. And the amount of time that I've spent with God, I'm so embarrassed. You want to be close to God again, just spend time with Him. Some of the ways that we spend time with God is obviously reading Scripture. Reading about Him, that's reading the communications from Him, and then time in prayer. And the other way that we spend time with Him, obviously, is today. We're worshiping Him today, and in fellowshipping together, spending time together. Time like last night, the fish fry, just sitting and talking to other people who were His children. That makes you feel closer to your Father, doesn't it? when you're visiting with your brothers and sisters. In short, to be a Christian legitimately, to not just call yourself a Christian, but to be called a Christian, is something that you are never going to be able to live up to, which is why, ultimately, why Jesus came and died for you, okay? Because we're not worthy. We're never going to be able to be sufficient, to be good enough to be like Christ. That's why He died, to cover us in His blood and clothe us in His righteousness. But our pursuit now as His children, our commandment is to pursue Him, to be like Him, to be more like Him tomorrow than I was today. Hopefully to be more like Him today than I was tomorrow, but there is no guarantee. All right, some people believe in this concept of sanctification as a process that God begins a work in you and you will be more and more sanctified all throughout time, and then if you aren't doing that, then you're probably just not a child of God. That's not how it works, okay? It's very much up to you how sanctified you're living, okay? You've been sanctified by the Spirit of God. You've been set apart from this world. You're different. But now, if you want to have a good relationship with your Father, not in order to get into heaven, but because you are going to heaven, then it's going to take work. It's going to take time. If you treat God as a father that you just took off to a nursing home somewhere and dropped him off and you forgot to go visit him anymore, then guess what? Your relationship is going to suffer. And your fruits of the Spirit, all these wonderful qualities that we've talked about, those things are going to start to diminish in you. But you spend more time with Him. You spend time with Him on the mountain just like Moses did with God. Those fruits are going to start to come in again, okay? People are going to start to see them again. You're going to start to be more like Christ. I hope that's an encouragement to you. I realize that in every single element of this, I fall so short, okay? So if any of you happen to feel like I'm targeting you, That's not my intention, okay? The Bible sometimes calls us out. But this sermon was for me, okay? And so in every single area of this, I need to improve. And let's improve together, okay? Hope that's an encouragement to you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.